This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I am John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. This program is being produced today by Mr. Corey York. Our guy Michael Cohen is off today, but we'll move onward and upward. A big Friday show forthcoming, and we've got plenty to say about week number four, which of course kicked off last night in Arizona. We'll talk about last night's game. We'll catch you up on all your injuries. I do have a log, if you will, tracking all the critical injuries. And I'm not even talking about offensive players. Well, we'll get into some of those. We all are watching those players like a hawk. But I'm more talking about secondary offensive linemen. How's that going to affect the prop world, defensive injuries, all that good stuff. We'll do that here in segment number one. We'll talk college football props with a guy, Ben Stevens, from right here at VSiN. He's got one play of a total, and he's got some individual player props, as does Scott Barrett for week four in the NFL. He'll join us in the third segment, and then we will wrap it up in the final segment, and I will make my official week four picks. I also have a best bet, and I am going to say this right now. I would be absolutely stunned, catatonic, if this best bet does not pan out. It does not hit. I'll stare at a wall for like 4 hours if this one does not get through and pass and win. We are 3-0 on the best bets thus far, and I probably just jinxed myself, but it's a really, really good play, and we're gonna pop it out at the end of the program. Let's take a look at last night's action. It was a pretty good night. I did say that, you know, you've got two divisional rivals, good defenses overall, better than their offenses, essentially. Short week. Let's get weird and try and win by being weird, because honestly, a lot of the marquee players came up small and didn't get it done. I lost the JSN prop by 2 yards. For example, my man I don't think he had a catch until the fourth quarter. It was quite amazing, yet he still almost hit. So that's a lesson learned real quick. You know, I was enamored with his role and the data, all that good stuff. You could argue, oh, divisional opponent, so you should have known that they'd put the clamps down. Well, unfortunately, they've already played the Niners, and he crushed them last week. But that's the lesson learned. The guy was just too on fire in a short week, divisional rival. They took him out, basically. They essentially sold out to take him out. But also not hitting was Trey McBride, Kyler Murray's passing, also Darnold's passing. I mean, it wasn't that bad of a day. Ken Walker went over the rushing. Trey Benson, I tried to kind of preach some caution there with Trey Benson. I know how people are. They get this new shiny toy, and they just can't wait to bust it out, basically. But I'm like, you know what? Just slow the roll. Let's see what we see. Well, we saw only 8 carries for 35 yards. But overall, a very successful night, even though, you know, I'm not even mad about the JSN one, because I got lucky on the Trey McBride play over 10.5 yards. Ooh, boy, in the first quarter. My man got that by 0.5 yard. The other failure was the JSN failure. I thought that would be, worth trying out with such great schematic matchups for both of those players. It did work out for Trey McBride. But how about our guy Dortch, baby? I will say, full disclosure, I actually changed the Thursday night special at the last minute. The Thursday night special was Dortch over the yardage and the receptions as a, you know, basically a two-leg parlay. But the problem was the reception prop was, the odds were just through the roof. It was like 100 minus 170. So I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a boring special. Go over 16 yards and catch two balls, which he did with ease, by the way. But I still thought it was a pretty solid try with the special. So you're looking at roll opportunity versus odds, basically. And I thought that Dortch had enough of a role and enough of an opportunity and good enough odds to make it a viable play. The guy did get five targets and four grabs for 35. That does not work out. How about Ken Walker? That was nice. I mean, that never happens to me. I took the over. Maybe I got a little lucky there. He only had one catch, but very early in the game, he caught that screen for 29. I'm like, check. So I love that. Oh, and we did love that Kyler Murray prop. See, this is what I'm saying. I'm going to start getting a little weirder for dubs, basically. You know, I'm in year two of this show. I'm learning lessons, and I need to expand it out a little bit, especially when it's a weird game like last night. So we do go 4-2. We don't hit the prop. JSN, we don't hit the touchdown prop. So we're a little behind there, but we are hanging in there. And by the way, I've yet to have that run, basically, that I had last year. Thought I was going to be really close this past week. I got some bad beats, but I did go 4-1 with my top five props. But we need to go on a 2-week run here, maybe three, where we just absolutely crush it, build up a little bit of a lead. And then we're going to be a little conservative in the month of November. We're going to take unders. That was my biggest lesson learned last year. I had trouble taking the unders, but November will be forthcoming, and we will be taking a boatload of unders. NFL news, big one, Jaden Daniels ruled out against the Falcons, and I'm sure we did say domo arigato Marcus Mariota yesterday or last week if we started him, because my man crushed. And it is a Marcus Mariota revenge game as well. He did play that year in Atlanta. Not the greatest matchup, though. I don't love the matchup for the receivers. And Terry McLaurin, of course, is probably out, right? So Mariota rushing, though? Yes. I'm not going to make it an official play here because the news just went down. But, yeah, Mariota rushing. I don't even honestly care what it is. I'm going over on Marcus Mariota. What else do we have here? Let me go through that injury report, as I promised, quickly. Take a look at the critical non-obvious injuries that could affect the prop market, basically. For example, Ryan Kelly back at practice for the Vikings. I didn't take the prop, but I do like Jordan Mason quite a bit. You know, the Steelers might be pretty good on those zone concepts, but Jordan Mason's a good gap guy too, a good power guy. So I like him quite a bit. I actually do like Jalen Warren as well. I didn't go in the prop, a little too close, but I definitely like the two running backs in the Ireland game. As I mentioned, McLaurin, that is big. I don't like the schematic matchup, by the way, for Deebo Samuel or for Zach Ertz. Don't know yet about AJ Terrell in that game. It may not matter, by the way, because McLaurin is probably trending toward missing the game. The Bills have already ruled out Ed Oliver. Can't hurt Alvin Kamara. And Matt Milano may be game day decision, game time decision, whatever, at best, I guess, because I believe he was out of practice again as well today, but they already did rule out Ed Oliver. I haven't seen J.C. Latham, but that's if you're out there with Tony Pollard or anyone on the Titans, you probably want to have your right tackle. Derek Stingley, I don't have that update either, but that is huge. If Derek Stingley is in, full fade on Cal Ridley. If Derek Stingley is out, then I'm going Cal Ridley. That's pretty much it. Bottom line, let's see. Nothing else here of note in that game. Moving on to the Bucs game, looks like they're going to get Wirfs back, the left tackle, they'll need him. And Godwin, bad matchup. Izian, the corner, the safety, I think he's out. Not that that's a huge one. Taylor Decker for Detroit, I don't know if the news came down, but if he's ruled out, that's not good. You're starting left tackle, even though you know, the matchup isn't that scary. Well, actually, real scary. What am I saying? Real scary. That's why I brought it up. Very scary for if they don't have Taylor Decker. That would probably curtail their passing game with Myles Garrett and company on the other side. Jatavion Sanders, does anyone care? Probably not. Christian Gonzalez, you should care about that because that would be huge for Tet McMillan if he's in or out. And looks like he's probably trending toward playing. He did get a limited session in late in the week here. Also here for the Colts-Rams game, we'll keep an eye on Kenny Moore. Not that the Colts use the slot a lot. I guess they do with the Rams. They do with Puka Nacua, of course. but they don't throw to a third receiver is my point. But Kenny Moore he's been out of practice. Grover Stewart, that's pretty big for Kyren because he's a pretty good run clogger up in the middle. Alec Pierce, we'll see about that. I do like Michael Pittman. Davante Adams, we got to check in on that, of course. For the Niners, Ricky Pearsall got in a limited work yesterday, but no for Juwan Jennings and Purdy, of course. Looks like Trent Williams going to play. Bears are hurting. Edwards, Gordon, Jarrett, Jalen Johnson. Yeah, he'll probably play, but these guys are iffy. They got a lot of injuries here. Colston Loveland as well. Brock Bowers looks like he's going to go. We have Ricard, probably not going to play again for Derrick Henry. That's not great, but looks like likely could be returning. Ronnie Stanley, we'll see about him. Check in on that. Zach Tom, one of the tackles, the right tackle for Green Bay, they're not going to be having him out there. So they're going to have a third string right tackle. So if there's any chance that the Packers underwhelm, that would be why. Justin Fields, obviously, that's a big one. A couple of DBs there for the Miami Dolphins. That's a quick look at the injury landscape heading into the weekend. When we return, we'll talk college football. But first, this week's Average Joe Contest winner, Gary Warner. Four contestants win a perfect 7-0. Remember, tiebreakers come down to your best bet of the week, followed by best bet NFL, your best NFL bet record that week. The contest is free to enter. Every week you can win cash prizes plus quarterly prizes like a trip to Vegas with a Circa Resort stay and even a guest appearance on a VSiN show. Enter any time of the season at VSiN.com/Joe. And when we return, Ben Stevens of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and we go to the Progressive Guest Line without any further ado. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. He's on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. What is up, Ben? I see you've got you're leaning a little bit on the propage. You've got three and you've got a total play. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks for having me on this Friday. We have one of the best weekends of this college football season. I know it's only week number five, but the docket on Saturday is fantastic. Excited to dive through it all with you.
All right. Well, I'm also excited, by the way, to pop out some touchdown props. And I think we'll let Ben go in this segment real quick, just so we know, and I will pop those out because you're being very selective this week, Ben. I think that's probably the way to go. I am definitely guilty of going a little overboard on props. You know, I'm doing a show called Prop Points. As I always joke around, I can't come on here and say, sorry, I have no props. But let's get into it because you like Fernando Mendoza of Indiana to go over 251. I see this dude is balling. 14 touchdowns, leading his conference, right? See, with zero interceptions, completing nearly 77% of his passes. So I can understand why you like Mendoza. The line, if you will, the Mendoza line seems to be pretty good for you at 251. You think he's going to go to 252 or more, right?
I do indeed, John. It's a really big spot for Indiana tomorrow to follow up the performance they put on display against Illinois last week at home, maybe the biggest football game the Indiana Hoosiers have ever hosted in Bloomington. And in that matchup, Fernando Mendoza, only two incompletions, more than 260 yards in five touchdown tosses. Mendoza leads all of FBS college football this year in touchdown passes with 14, but he has also been getting it done efficiently in the last 2 weeks. 10 total touchdowns for Fernando Mendoza through the air, only three incompletions. And as they go to Iowa City tomorrow to take on the Hawkeyes, oftentimes when you think of Iowa football, you think of a defense that contains and stifles its opponents. I actually think this year, although I still trust in the D.C. and Iowa City, Phil Parker, to coordinate things well for this Iowa club. You could make an argument Iowa's offense is off to a better start this season than that of the defense, as we saw the secondary for the Hawks last week exposed on a Friday night in Piscataway, New Jersey, by Rutgers quarterback Ethan Kaliak-Manis. A ton of downfield passing plays, a ton of explosive plays in the back end of that Iowa secondary. Kaliak-Manis throwing for 330 yards. I expect Indiana to back up the dazzling and dominant performance of a Saturday ago tomorrow inside Kinnick Stadium. And they'll do that with the Heisman frontrunner now, John. The quarterback of Indiana in the month of September is the Heisman favorite in Fernando Mendoza.
Wow.
251 plus through the air is how I see it tomorrow.
Wow. I've actually been last couple of weekends just bearing down on NFL research. So I find that I'm getting a little distracted by college football. So I haven't tuned in as much. I did not realize that Mendoza was the favorite right now. That's pretty wild. I'm pretty sure, I'm going to guess Indiana does not have a Heisman Trophy winner, but you never know. They may have in like the 40s. But let's move on here. Nick Singleton, Penn State, rock solid dude, man. You know, it's like a grown man out there, fourth year senior. And, you know, he's got a year last year, right? 41 grabs. That's a good number for college football. And you like the 25 plus receiving yard prop over 25 or more yards. Talk about Nick Singleton.
Yeah, biggest game of the day, primetime in Happy Valley, the 18th full stadium wideout game in the history of Penn State football as they take on Oregon. It's a top 10 tilt, number 3 Penn State, number 6 Oregon. And we have seen in times past James Franklin and company, and now his 12th year there in State College, Pennsylvania, stumble on these most significant of stages. In fact, Penn State against AP top 10 foes, 4-20 in the previous 11 years under James Franklin, 2-17 against Big Ten opponents who also rank in the AP top 10. So it's a huge opportunity tomorrow night in Happy Valley to change that narrative. And it's a narrative that Penn State is working actively against this year, trying to be a national championship contender, which was that preseason prognostication for Penn State entering 2025. And John, to get that done, I think it relies on one thing above all else. That is Drew Aller, the quarterback for Penn State, performing better than he has against ranked foes during his time, 10 games against ranked teams as the 3-year starting quarterback for the Nittany Lions, and in those games, averaging just .166 through the air and a 54% completion percentage. So, to kind of elude some of those nerves that might be there against the Ducks tomorrow night, I think he trusts in his veteran running back in Nick Singleton, who paired with his dynamic partner in the backfield, Katron Allen, a force in terms of running the football, no doubt. But Andy Kotelnicki, Penn State's offensive coordinator, loves to use Singleton in the passing attack as well. Very much in the Saquon Barkley mold the last time Penn State beat an AP top 10 foe back in 2016. 3 games last year against AP top 10 teams for Nick Singleton with at least 33 receiving yards. When Drew Aller needs him, he is that reliable, steady target out of the backfield, 25-plus tomorrow against Oregon for a wrinkle in that creative offense for the Nittany Lions, trusting Singleton not just on the ground, but also as a receiver in that passing attack as well.
Jonah Coleman, Washington, against Washington State. You love your rivalries. -150 for an anytime tutty. So you must be pretty darn confident. I see the man, I believe, currently leads with 9 scores already. My man's crossed the stripe 9 times. So what do you have here on Coleman?
Yeah, John, when you look at Jonah Coleman, -150 to hit pay dirt tomorrow in Seattle against the reigning national champs in Ohio State. Last week, as you alluded to, against Wazoo, multiple touchdowns for Coleman. Oh, all good. I thought that's what you were referring to anyway. The performance last week in the Apple Cup for Jonah Coleman, scoring twice and only in 3 games because Washington has only played 3 times this year. Coleman has scored 9 touchdowns. And still, despite playing 3 when most have played 4, Jonah Coleman leads the country in scoring. It is going to be difficult against that stellar Buckeyes defense that was sensational last year. Best scoring defense in the country. Best red zone defense in all of college football as they make that trip to Seattle to find any amount of points against Ohio State. But if Washington is in line to maybe play spoiler and pull an upset tomorrow in the Pacific Northwest, Jonah Coleman will get the job done. And as compared to the NFL, when you see a guy who leads the country in college football or who is prolific in terms of scoring touchdowns, those numbers to hit pay dirt anytime TD prices can be astronomical, bonkers, minus 500, minus 750, even sometimes in a quadruple digit. So to get the guy who was leading FBS college football already with nine rushing TDs in only three games, if UW is going to score tomorrow against Ohio State, and I think they do, I think Jonah Coleman will cross that pylon, minus 150. I like the number.
There it is. Ben Stevens on the line with us here. You got a couple more here. LSU Ole Miss. You like the under. I see Brian Kelly's 4-0. And maybe this is something to do with the quarterback change for Ole Miss.
It really is not necessarily about Trinidad Chambliss in terms of how great he has been, at least 400 total yards in his two starts for the Run Rebs. It's more so about what LSU is doing so well this year off to that 4-0 start. The Bayou Bengals had so much returning talent offensively, led by quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. They've been a little bit slow to start. I actually think the ground game, Caden Durham, the running back for LSU tomorrow, has some success against that Ole Miss defense that's been struggling a little bit. But when I look at LSU, it's been the defense that has by far been the best in the Brian Kelly era and continues, John, to improve year over year, only allowing 4.2 yards per play so far this year. Last year, that number was close to 5.9 yards per play. The year previous, 6.14 yards per play. It's been LSU's defense that has the Bayou Bengals in the top five in this huge matchup in the Grove entering Oxford tomorrow. And I also like what the betting market is telling us. You think LSU, you think Ole Miss, you think each team can score into the 50s in a high-scoring affair tomorrow on a Saturday afternoon. And so much of the betting public, that handle is all over the over, and yet the total has dropped from the opening line on Sunday afternoon, 55 and a hook to 54 and a half. I think the defenses carry the water tomorrow for both LSU and Ole Miss. I like the under of 54 and a half.
You also have Illinois, which I unfortunately missed, but didn't totally miss it. You have them plus 6.5. And well, you use the whole segment. You have too much information. Great information though, Ben, really appreciate it. Check out Ben co-hosting Live Bet Saturday, right here on VSiN. That's with our guy, Dustin Sweetelson, I believe. And Ben on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. Good luck with all the picks. Enjoy college football and the NFL. Ben, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, John. I'll be tuning in for those anytime touchdown prices from you as well.
That is correct in the final segment. And when we return, Scott Barrett of Fantasy Points will talk a little DFS and some propage. But first, NFL season still rolling. Every snap brings new opportunities. Make sure you get the edge with VSiN Pro. Don't wait. Lock in 40% off today with the promo code PROP at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You'll get all the good stuff. And you'll get Scott Barrett from FantasyPoints.com on the other side. He loved Jake Ferguson last week, as did I. He is next here on Prop Points on Visa.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday edition of Prop Points rolls on here on VSiN. Good afternoon. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We do go to the Progressive Guest Line, though. We bring in Scott Barrett of the aforementioned FantasyPoints.com. He's on the X machine at Scott Barrett DFB. And it looks like Scott has got a little prop envy, quite frankly, because he's really a DFS maven. But you want to talk props, Scott? Welcome. Come on. It's Prop Points. So I'm excited, but you're into the props. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm trying these pants on. You know, I've never been a prop guy. I figured just this week I'll try, and if we hit big, maybe I'll stick to it. But first prop is a Baker Mayfield prop. Actually, it's two prop. It's a parlay. I like him to hit his over on rushing yards and is under on passing yards. It's over 15.5 rushing on DraftKings, under 228.5 passing on DraftKings. Parlay it, plus 224. Typically, this might be a negatively correlated bet. I think it's positively. On the rushing side, 15.5 rushing yards. Mayfield has doubled that mark in each of his last four games, averaging 46 rushing yards per game, including the playoffs since the start of last year, exceeded 15.5, 67% of the time. I think he goes way over that. Why? Totally. Quarterbacks run more when the receivers aren't getting open. He doesn't have Mike Evans. Chris Godwin's on a snap count. Quarterbacks run more when the pocket's collapsing. He'll be down 2 to 3 starting offensive linemen, depending on the status of Tristan Wirfs. Quarterbacks run more against man coverage. As we all know, defensive backs turn their backs to the quarterback. Eagles, top 12 rate of man coverage. Also, and then on the passing side, like we just said, O-line injuries, wide receiver injuries. He's been under this mark in 2 of 3 games. More importantly, Eagles have held Stafford, Mahomes, Dak, all under 200 passing yards this year. Also, he's dealing with a bicep injury, limited in practice, officially questionable. So more running, less passing. That's how I see it this week.
You know, I was just going to try and guess what Baker's averaging like yards per carry. I'm going to guess 5. I swear I haven't looked, because yet last week I was in on a Baker prop at, it's like 12.5, but at the end of the game, toward the end of the game, maybe it was 17 and he was stuck at 12. They had a big lead. And then the Jets had that big play and I'm like, oh, please Baker, run for a third down conversion. And he did, 28 yards, but I bet she's averaging like 6 yards a carry. Let me check here live on the show.
You're way under.
Where are we at? Oh, I'm so wrong. 9.7 yards a carry. I mean, that is, I'm gonna swallow my tongue right there. That is absurd. How about Samuel Laporta? Because spoiler alert, we teased the touchdown props. I'm in on a Laporta touchdown prop, and I'm in on Laporta. What do you like about Sammy Laporta in this one?
Oh, I'm all in. I like Sam Laporta ladders this week. His over under right now is 38.5 on DraftKings at -111 odds. That's a lock, I think, personally. But, you know, all the alt lines, you can go all the way up to 70 on FanDuel for +430. If I had to pick up my favorite, it would be 60 yards +280. So Laporta was hurt for almost all of last year, really came on the last 5 or so games. Since week 14 of last season, Laporta averages 58.2 yards per game. He's hit 50 in 6 of 9. Keep in mind the over under 38.5. Why ladder him? Because it's a perfect schematic matchup. This is what fantasy points data does better than anyone else. Vegas does not factor this into their over unders. This is why we crush every week, every season. It's why we're the best. Everyone knows Sam Laporta loves cover one. He circles cover one friendly matchups on his calendar before the season starts. The Browns play cover one a whopping 40% of the time, John. That's most in the league. That's over double the league average rate. As we all know, that's Laporta's favorite cover show. Why? Because since he came into the league, he sees a 55% boost to his yards per route run against cover one. That's top 7 of any receiver in the NFL. He averaged 2.79 yards per route run against cover one. It's the most of any tight end. That's top 10 of any receiver. The only guys above him, John, are AJ Brown, Tyreek, Nico, CeeDee, Puka, Sutton, and George Pickens. And then most importantly, he crushes all other Detroit Lions receivers in yards per route run, targets per route run, any other stat you can think of against cover one. So I really like Sam Laporta ladders this week. And if it hits, take that money, do yourself a favor, buy yourself a Fantasy Points all-in subscription, access to Fantasy Points data. We just lowered prices. Use promo code GURU to get an extra 15% off.
Well, there it is. Scott Barrett of fantasypoints.com on the line with us at Scott Barrett DFB. And I remember last week, didn't we call ourselves arrogant last week when it came to Jake Ferguson? I believe that was word we used, cocky, arrogant, and dude caught 13 balls. So I'm with you on Laporta. Totally.
Yeah. Well, as usual, we're a few weeks ahead of the curve.
Yeah. We are. Let's move on to Jackson Dart, who probably go off in 2 weeks. But I did really want to play his rushing prop at the very least. But also, any thoughts on if he can help unlock Malik Nabers? Because I may have a Malik Nabers anytime touchdown prop forthcoming.
Yeah, so I'll start with that one first. He's undoubtedly going to unlock Malik Nabers. Nabers led the league in targets the first 2 weeks, and then last week had his worst target share of his career. What happened? He got the quarterback fired. We got this new quarterback coming in. And what do we know about rookies is rookie quarterbacks, they lock on to the number one. And especially when it's a guy who's very vocal about wanting his 10 plus targets per game. And yeah, why wouldn't you do that? He's the best player in your team. So, and he's an upgrade from Russell Wilson. So I definitely see him unlocking Malik Nabers, who this is one of my hot takes, I think is more talented than Justin Jefferson. Got a lot of heat for that many weeks ago, but I still feel confident with that. And then, and certainly for fantasy, but I think for real NFL too. And then right. Jackson Dart, the rushing, I like that angle. So Drake May was my Exodia quarterback for fantasy this year. Why? Because of the rushing upside. Drake May averaged 48.5 rushing yards per game in his final season at North Carolina. Dart, over his college career at Ole Miss, averaged 49.1. So very similar, maybe even better rushing upside from a Jackson Dart. Yep. He's a great DFS play this week, only 4,500 on DraftKings. And I like that prop you just recommended as well.
Yeah, I think he's faster, right, than Drake May. I would have to think. Just my eyeball test.
He's not as
significantly
big.
Quicker. Right.
May there's a little bit of, you know, like Josh Allen's little brother to him, but yeah, Dart is faster, more athletic.
Real quick, you also have Davante Adams on your list. That's probably DFS, and Tommy Tremble, because Jatavion Sanders, probably DFS. But James Cook, real quick, I don't think people realize how good this guy is. Maybe now they do, but the continuity on the O-line is amazing. And he runs well behind that line, and he's durable. I mean, I say just go over until he doesn't hit it, but what do you have on Cook?
Yeah, so he's quietly, sneakily one of the most game script sensitive running backs in fantasy alongside of Derrick Henry. But he's at his best in dominant victories. And so you have the Bills right now favored by 15.5 points. And so since the start of last season, James Cook averages 28.5 DraftKings fantasy points per game in the games that the Bills have won by 6 or more points since the start of last season. So he is a great, great DFS play this week.
Probably have like 70 yards, you know, after the conclusion of the first quarter, perhaps. Well, great stuff as always, Scott. Once again, Scott Barrett on the X machine. If you're not following Scott, I mean, I don't know what you're doing. Quite frankly, it's the hottest follow in the universe, the Twitter sphere, over the last, I don't know, 5 years. At Scott Barrett DFB. Great stuff, Scott. Good luck with all the plays. I don't think you'll need any luck with the Laporta play, but you know, we'll wish you good luck just the same. But enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you, John.
There he is, Scott Barrett of fantasypoints.com. And well, we are up to the final segment of the program, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pretty good about the calls. I've spent a lot of time already breaking down all the data, all the coverage shells. I mean, I'm really, really picky. I'm going to pop out 10 props and also, I think, 4 touchdown props, but also a best bet, which, again, I will officially be floored if it does not hit. So hang for that in this last and most horrific segment of this show, which is entitled Prop Points, right here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Friday. It is go time here on Prop Points. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to go with 10. I'm going to go back to that nice nice and even number. I'm very superstitious with certain things. It's funny because on some levels, I'm not superstitious at all. Like the old Madden curse, like, no. I'd never bought that. I'm like, you're at the pinnacle. That's why you're on the cover. There's nowhere to go but down. There's no curse. But some other things, I'm very superstitious. Like the number of prop picks I pop out. That's how weird I am with the idiosyncratic methods. Anyways, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, by the way, on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your pods. But let's get into it. Do have the best of the best is going to be at the very end, and that is this week's best bet. Well, we'll start with Javonte Williams. I mean, I absolutely love this one. Over 18.5 receiving yards. He still led Miles Sanders in route share last week, despite fumbling, 55% to 17%. The Packers allow the fifth fewest rushing yards per game. They give up the third most receptions per game, and they're going to kick their butt, basically, even though Green Bay is going to be without their right tackle. They're going to be playing from behind, no CD, so it's going to be all checkdowns. I would be stunned if this did not hit. I would also be stunned if the next one didn't hit in the very same game. I mean, what is this? Obvious week four? Jordan Love over 230.5 passing yards. We will all be mad if this does not hit. We will question a lot of things about the universe if this does not hit. Now, if it doesn't, we'll probably attribute it to the fact that they're down the right tackle. But, I mean, come on. They don't have a pass rush in Dallas. They have run the second highest zone coverage rate in the NFL. They have given up an absurd 11 of 16 deep passing for 444 on targets of 20-plus yards down the field, which is Jordan Love's deal. He does love 10.5 YPA against zone this year, a 77.5% completion rate, fifth best, a 17.5% deep throw rate, fourth best. Remember, Dallas is terrible covering the deep ball. He should have more time to throw compared to last week, obviously, up against the Browns, pushing that ball down the field. We're looking good. Cowboys run cover three at the fourth highest rate. You got the rookie Matthew Golden crushing cover three. And Dallas gives up by far the most passing yards per game, of course. They've made Caleb Williams and Russ Wilson look good the last couple of weeks. Enough said. Let's move on to Puka Nacua. Do I even need to offer any analysis? He's Puka Nacua, for God's sakes, but we will. We'll offer it up. 8-plus receptions on 11-plus targets and 91-plus yards in every game. The Colts are a slot funnel, allowing the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing slots, but the 10th fewest to outside receivers. Puka runs 54% of his routes out of the slot. He leads the league with 0.43 targets per route run and 4.32 yards per route run. That's a pretty damn good combo. And the Colts allowed the sixth most grabs, 25 so far, to slot receivers. 2 weeks ago, Troy Franklin, of all people, went off for 8 grabs for 89 with a touch. Next up, Mike Pittman. Love me some Mike Pittman. That's a guy I used to know personally. I guess we've lost touch. But when he came into the league, I did a bunch of interviews with him. Great dude. 51.5 receiving yards. The Rams are a top 10 pass funnel. The Rams have allowed the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing outside receivers. This game has the highest total on the slate. You love that. The Rams play cover three at the NFL's sixth highest rate, and Pittman sees a 17% boost to his targets per route run against cover three since the start of last year. He'll see a lot of Emmanuel Forbes, former first-round bust, Alec Pierce likely out. I mean, this is looking really good for Pittman. LA is fourth in pressure rate, by the way, so they'll have to get rid of the ball a little bit. They give up the 12th most receiving yards per game to outside receivers, 11th most receptions. Epic Aya Manor, we're calling him Epic, not Elic. Epic Aya Manor posted 4 for 56 and a tutty in this matchup 2 weeks ago. So love Pittman. Sam Laporta, as we discussed, over 37.5, Browns top three in both man coverage and cover one. And Laporta gets a 46% boost to his targets per route run against a man. I loved him on Monday against a man-heavy defense, and he was great. He caught, was it 4 of 4 targets? They just didn't need him to do anything else. Since the start of last season, his 0.75 fantasy points per route run against man, I think Scott Barrett had this stat. Yeah, ranks third best in the NFL behind only A.J. Brown and Puka Nacua. His 2.81 yards per route run against cover one leads all tight ends and represents a 55% boost. So we're going over 38. Aaron Rodgers, the complicated fella. This is not very complicated. He'll throw an interception. It's very possible that the Steelers have some success running the ball. And if they do, then he'll probably stay ahead of the down and maybe this loses. But, you know, the Vikings are a tough matchup, obviously. They have only 2 picks so far, but AR has 3 in his last 2 games. And as a member of the Jets last year, if you recall, they played in London and he tossed 3 picks. So that's why I'm taking it over. Well, let's go one interception. Next up, Travis Kelce, over 4.5 receptions, second highest total on the slate. The Chiefs have the NFL's highest pass rate over expectation. Ravens are top 5 in their deployment of man coverage, which could be a concern, but Kelce still ranks 4th in average separation score and 1st in win rate. So he's still moving all right. So I think we're going to do this. We'll get to 5 grabs. Xavier Worthy could be limited. He didn't have a great game last time out last year, but 2 years ago in the playoffs, all he did was catch all 11 of his targets for 116. Next up, got to get an under in there. So we're trying to diversify a little bit. We got interception, and we have an under, and it's Abuka under. Amika Obuka, under 65.5 receiving yards. Yes, the Eagles are a perimeter funnel, but Obuka will line up inside here and there. They allow the 8th most receptions and the 8th most receiving yards to outside receivers. So why am I taking the under? Quinyon Mitchell, because he's now a shadow, and with Mike Evans out, he'll shadow Obuka. He may not right away, but if Obuka makes a play, then he will. So I think Quinyon Mitchell will erase Ibuka. Nico Collins over 70.5 receiving yards. You know, I think the Texans will actually run the ball in this game. They have a good data in that regard, which will balance it out and make them a healthier offense. The Titans are a perimeter funnel. He'll see a lot of Legarius Sneed, who talks a big game, but he's not that good. Michael Pittman, Davante Adams, and Cortland Sutton have done well. And Collins had 5 for 92 in his lone matchup with Stroud against the Titans last year. All right, let me pop out very quickly. The touchdown props I like, Sammy Laporta, anytime touchdown at plus 200. I accidentally popped in this T. Higgins one, my bad, but they do play on Monday. But hey, for what it's worth, I like it at plus 200. Malik Nabers, plus 185. And this one's weird, but Cole Kmet, plus 380. The Raiders run 55% cover 3, and that's actually a really good shell for Cole Kmet. Sammy Laporta, by the way, when he played for Ben Johnson in this same matchup, had a 31% first read target share. So it could be Cole Kmet time. All right, we are up to the last item of business, the best bet for week 4. It's brought to you by G-Bank. G-Bank, built with sports bettors in mind. Right now you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with a G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat gaming and sportsbook transactions as cash advances. G-Bank, though, regular purchases, that's how they treat them. That means no cash advance fees, saving you 3 to 5% on every deposit. You'll also earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. VSiN.com/GBank. Money moves with Jonathan Von Tobel coming away at the top of the hour. On today's show, Mike Palm joins with sharp betting insights from Circa. Will Hill breaks down the NFL and college football board. Well, I've run out of time. The best bet is Saquon Barkley, over 13.5 rushing yards. Now, it might be 15, might be 16. 60% of his carries have come with multiple tight ends on the field, and he's averaging only 3 yards a carry. Tampa's excellent against the run. They're excellent against dual tight end situations. Saquon will have to do it in the passing game. They're an underneath funnel. They have good pressure. Check down Charlie. Again, I'd be absolutely floored if that did not hit. Saquon Barkley, I'll even go to 16 yards with that one receiving. That is a wrap for the program. Good luck with all the plays, and we'll catch you Monday for another edition of Prop Points.